Throughout our history, humankind has looked to understand the world around us, to define, taxonomize, and scientate. But some secrets have defied the cold scalpel of knowledge. These dark mysteries still reside within the Mind Trench with your guide, Rob Bollock.
What? That's a primo intro you've got there,
good,
Rob.
It's good. It's better than the whole... They should just play that three times and then I'll play a song and then that's it. Right. Now, last week on the way home, you know, it's really hot and humid and all that. On the way to Britomart, I saw three or four suit-wearing gentlemen and I thought, that must be hard work in this weather. Do you know what I mean? I mean, I've always got a T-shirt, long-sleeve T-shirt with a T-shirt over it. Because I have to stay out of the sun. If I'm in the summertime, I just burst into flames. I'm hopeless. And then I thought... Why are they wearing ties? I mean, why does anybody wear a tie? Well, they don't do it. They're just there. They don't do anything. They're just there. Just hang there.
I mean, you can get a fun pattern on a tie. I think that's about as far as I give them.
So I thought, you know what? History of the necktie or tie. You ready for this?
I'm ready.
Yeah.
In France, during the 30 Years' War from 1618 to 1648, the French hired Croatian mercenaries who wore traditional knotted neckerchiefs round their neck as part of their uniform. So it holds their top together, right?
Okay.
Now, earlier this morning we were talking about it. We were talking about buttons, right? And they use buttons. And I thought, well, maybe buttons hadn't been invented, but they were actually invented in the 13th century in Germany with the little buttonhole things.
Okay.
So, but anyway, I'm done.
I mean, it took human history a long time to hit that point, didn't it?
Yeah. Now, what happened was, towards the end of the war, the Croatians were presented to King Louis XIV, the Sun King, who was quite a character, him.
He was quite a guy.
Yeah.
Dirty boy.
Yes.
Dirty Louis.
He saw the neckerchiefs and said, oh, I love them. So he started wearing them. Then he made cravats mandatory, a mandatory accessory at royal gatherings. I wonder if anybody complained about that, having to wear cravats.
If they did, they probably didn't do it too loudly.
No, anyway, so a new fashion trend started all over Europe. And as Europe and he called them La Cravat, which is after the Croatians. So that's how cravat came out.
Oh.
But I thought it should have been Crovat, because cravat don't sound anything like Croatia.
Yeah. Maybe it does in French.
It could be a French thing, yeah.
Okay. Okay, you never thought of that.
I thought you were going to say after the crow.
As Europe changed, so did La Cravat, and neckwear became an indication of social status. It was worn by nobles who wanted to project power, wealth and status.
Nothing like tying a hanky around your neck to project power.
By the 1800s, the scarf became the most popular neckwear.
Okay.
Yeah, and then, although cravats and bandanas were still about.
Did either of you go through a scarf phase, like a little scarf as an accessory?
Yeah,
I wear a scarf. I've got Tottenham scarf in the winter. I wear it all the time.
Oh, nice.
I've got bad memories with scarves.
Yeah, I was a fan of little scarves. No, like tiny, tiny, flimsy little things, just for show.
Okay.
I got in trouble at high school because you were allowed to wear a scarf that was the school colours, and we had a little like gold bit on the emblem, so I had this gold scarf.
Oh, my God, and they were, so good.
Yeah, I had to go to the principal's office because they thought I was taking the piss.
Right. Now... the tying of neckwear became very important, and a pamphlet was published in 1818 called Neck Cloth Initia, which detailed the most popular ways to use tie different knots. Right? Then along came the Industrial Revolution, and fabrics like cotton, linen, wool and silk were being produced in much more efficient rates than ever before. So the fashion became popular with everybody, all the scumbags that were living in the gutter and all that. Around that time, bow ties became really popular, and then ties continued to evolve, and today's ties origins go back to 1920 and New York. Tie maker Jesse Langford, who came up with the new idea of how to make ties by cutting the fabric on an angle and sewing it in three segments, is still used today.
Oh, I didn't realise they were that recent.
Yeah, and it was known as the Langford necktie.
The Langford.
And then really, I mean, every generation has put their own spin on it, like kipper ties, the skinny ones, as you were talking about, like the ones in the 80s.
Yeah.
What a decade for bad fashion that was.
I wonder what our generation's
The people still, I mean, obviously when you go to work, if you work in an office and you've got to wear a tie, you wear a tie. But you only wear a tie if you're going to court or like something.
Oh, yeah.
Do you know?
Yeah.
So is that...
That's the history of ties.
That's the history of ties.
Okay.
It's quite interesting, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It's quite interesting.
I didn't know that Louis the King
Sun King
would have gotten involved.
In actual fact, I think when he was like 9 years old, that's when he saw them, and when he was walking around when he was a little kid, he goes, oh, I like that. He was real fashion.
Mm.
Yeah.
Thing. I've been checking him out. Some of the stuff he does looks a bit weird, but never mind.
Do you remember in the 2000s the women's tie became quite popular, like with Madonna?
Yes.
And Amfam.
Oh my god.
Maybe it's time for that to come back.
Yeah, let's do it.
The oversized women's tie. I believe you have a poem.
Yes,
for
I
us.
Do.
All right.
Introducing the Bard of Bollocks. You dig? Take it away.
Right, this one, I'll do a bit of a backstory on this one, right? I went to a shop the other day and asked to go and see something, and the person said, knock yourself out. I was told the other day, I thought, no, I won't. What a horrible thing to say. It doesn't really make any sense at all. You're basically telling me to put my head down and run into a wall. So instead, say, help yourself. Sounds so much better and good for your health. No headaches. Thank you.
Snaps. Nice, Rob.
Thank you. What a ridiculous saying. That's American as well. There you go.
Knock yourself out. Yeah.
It means go and... I think it comes from the depression days when, like, if you go and do a job, you've got to really knock yourself out. You've got to work really, really hard. Just say work hard. Don't say knock yourself out.
I think that's good advice. I think we could all do with telling people to hurt themselves less.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Help yourself less and just go and help yourself. Right. Can I do my thing, songy thing now?
Oh, yeah.
Do you have that lined up, Zoe?
No, I don't. But we could play another track and then play it. Is that how it works?
Well, not normally, but we'll do it this time. Just hope Rachel doesn't listen. She's not listening.
Okay, I will play a song and we'll be right back with Rob's chin.
Thank you.
Oh, is it coming? Yes, it is. Music. Professionalism.
That's what we do here.
Thank you.
Well, we've lined up your song now.
Thank you.
Rob.
Brief interlude.
Right, what I've been doing all this month, each Wednesday I've been having my three favourite beautiful songs. And this is number one. And this has come Figure Me Out by Dove Asylum with Sandy Mills doing the vocals. This is, I call this a triple threat song.
Mm.
It's got amazing lyrics, tunes mad, vocals are beautiful. To me, it's a Yorkshire tea of beautiful songs.
Oh, that's
it doesn't
so nice.
Matter how many times you drink it or listen to it, it's not the first time you've ever drunk it or listened to it.
That's well, awesome.
Let's feed some Yorkshire tea.
Just
pour it down the ears of our listeners.
Oh, sting.
From all around.
Mind Trench with Rob Bollocks, only on 95 BFM.
Oh, we love the Mind Trench.
We do.